All nature seeks a harmony. By nature, we mean first of all three terms: matter, life, and mind. In all nature, whether it is material nature, or vital nature, or mental nature, there is a constant seeking for harmony. As far as mind is concerned, it is very easy for us to see because you just look at your mind. The mind can never remain content when it perceives two contradictory ideas sitting at the same time in your mind. You try it. When two statements which are contradictory of each other, if they are settled in your mind, you won't get sleep. It will constantly work in such a way that the contradiction is resolved. There is a harmony between the two. This is a psychological fact. It's a natural fact. The Sri Aurobindo says, all nature seeks harmony. Even in perceptions, you go to an exhibition and see so many things. And now supposing somebody says, what did you see in the exhibition? Now immediately your mind will start arranging all your observation, all your impressions. If you simply say, oh, I saw this, then I saw that, then I saw that, you will not feel satisfied yourself. That I am just giving any idiot giving a description of whatever I have seen. If I really want to give a description of what I have seen, I will organize my perceptions. I will put them under some kind of categories. That I perceived pictures of beauty, I perceived pictures of meaning, I saw pictures of puzzles. You will categorize them and put them in one basket, all of them harmonious with each other. There are many ways of organizing. There is a school of psychology which is called Gestalt psychology. G-E-S-T-A-L-T, Gestalt psychology. It's a psychological school which tells you how you observe things. How you act. If I want to go out now, in my movement from here to there, a lot of organization will take place. I will not go in that direction. I'll go in this direction. There is already organization. If I go in this direction, my car is not in this direction, so I will not go in this direction. Even in an ordinary movement, my movement will be harmonious. Harmonious with my movement and the end which I have in view. To harmonize my movement with a purpose, with an end, is automatic. We are able to see a film even when we know that each image in the film is divided by a small interval. You have seen the film, isn't it? Each image is divided from another image by a short little interval, very short interval. But we are able to see why, because our tendency is to harmonize. Because our very perceptual faculty is such that one film is harmonized with by our own faculty of perception with the next film. Because of the psychological fact, we are able to see the film. If we were not able to do this exercise, we should be seeing only like slides. Slides we are seeing one divided from the other because the distance between one and the other is great. so that our perceptual faculty is not able to join them together. But our natural tendency of the eye is to try as much as possible to bridge the gap. Automatically, whenever there is a gap, Aster is here, her father, Dr. Indra Sen, used to show certain pictures, you know, very, very interesting pictures he had made. Once you should ask Aster to show you. In fact, I've advised her to, so requested her to speak to you on integral psychology one day. And Dr. Indra Sen had made so many pictures. Natural tendency of the human mind to see harmony. To prove that human mind has a natural tendency to see harmony. If you show one curve which is half here, another curve which is half on that side, you will try to bring these two together automatically. This is called gestalt. Gestalt means that which constitutes a form, a harmonious form. This is true of all psychological operations, basically. As I told you, if there is contradiction in your mind, you will not rest until the contradiction is resolved. In perception, I gave this example. When five thoughts are given, they look separate from each other, you try to combine them and see what is the difference between these five, what is the harmony between the five. So, all nature is a movement towards harmony, whether it is in matter or in life or in mind. What we spoke of mind, which is more easy for us to observe, is also true of matter. It is now that very evidently we see that in matter, as we go into the quantum of matter, we find tremendous organization. Small nucleus and something revolving round and round and round. And what a tremendous organization. If you break that organization, as in atomic bomb, this is what is tried. You just break, immense energy comes out as it were in revolt. But again, even in that energy movement, the same rotation is manifested. In every organic movement, you will find the same kind of organization, same movement towards harmony. The tree, the whole law of the tree, the trunk and the roots and the branchings and the flowering and the fruition. There is a tremendous harmony in the whole movement and there is a rhythm. If you break it, the whole organism is lost. And again you try somewhere else, again the same rhythm begins to manifest itself. And now comes Sri Aurobindo's very important sentence. The greater the apparent disorder of the materials offered or the apparent disparateness even to irreconcilable opposition of the elements that are to be utilized, the stronger is the spur and it drives towards a more subtle and puissant order than can normally be the result of a less difficult endeavor. The greater the discord presented to you, the greater is a spur to arrive at a harmony. Greater. Whatever elements are offered to you, and if there is a great disorder, you will find you will set about the whole task of putting everything in order. A slight disorder you can even ignore. You enter into a room and everything is at sixes and sevens. Your spur of putting everything in order will be greater than if the things are not so much in disorder. the greater the discord that you perceive, the greater is the impulse in you to put things into order. And you will find that when the natural disorder is presented to you, there are so many elements in that discord, and then when you try to bring them out into an order, the ultimate result will be something unimaginable. The kind of harmony, the kind of design that you will see, it will be tremendously different from what you even conceived earlier. Now this argument is very important. The greater the contradiction between matter and spirit, the greater the contradiction between the realized fact and the unrealized ideal, the greater the opposition between the two, the greater is a spur. Therefore, the greater is a certainty that a very great design is being worked out. Something unimaginable perfection is being worked out. This is the answer to the question which we had started with. Material intellect says that because there is a contradiction between the realized fact and the unrealized ideal, therefore unrealized ideal is invalid. Now Sri Aurobindo answers that if there is a contradiction and the contradiction is very sharp, then instead of saying that this is invalid, no, a greater harmony is in view and it invites you to work very hard to find that out. So if you find that an invisible reality is presented to you which contradicts your visibility or what is visible to you, then don't refuse to go forward and find out how to reconcile the visible and the invisible. Don't refuse, as Bertrand Russell, as I told you, he says, we refuse to accept that there is any other way of knowing than the way of science and intellect. There are many other ways which could be. So this is only elucidation of that sentence. If you look into the methods of nature deliberately, then you will find that this opposition is the very method of nature. This is the elucidation of it. Now Sri Aurobindo gives examples. We shall take up these examples tomorrow. All right. The greater the opposition, the greater is the spur, and the greater the harmony to be achieved. So we shall see tomorrow all the examples. All right.